hanging out then was to be sort of where my friends were. And so when I first became aware of it, first it was at the, you know, was hanging out around the High School of Art and Design. And then after that, it was like figuring out how to get into this discotheque named Arthur. And then it was like going to the Scene East or the Scene West or, and it just moved like through Hurrah. I mean, Studio 54, Xenon, the Mud Club, which was finally downtown. And in between that, there was like going to Max's Kansas City and all that stuff. It just kept evolving. And then it was Barocco. Then it started being we'd go out to dinner and you'd spend your whole time in eating in restaurants. And eating in restaurants was always sort of part of things. I mean, Mickey Ruskin, who ran Max's Kansas City and the local and One University, the beauty about going there was that you could always sort of eat for free. I mean, there was always a way around not having money. And, you know, you would either trade art or you would just start a bogus tab and he'd let you just hang out and have a good time. So I guess it's like being a club member, you know, like belonging to, my idea of a golf club would be, or a men's club. But it was more democratic because it was just filled with all different kinds of people with all different ideas. Well, there's a certain amount of feeling of community when you live in New York and you develop, and you, I mean, when I left Brooklyn in high school and my friends, I'd left the friends I grew up with, and I developed this new group of friends who were interested in what I was interested in, was looking at art and being part of New York. And you managed to celebrate lots of things together. I mean, there are weddings that happen, and there are weddings of children that happen. There are big events. There's constantly art openings, museum openings. There's all these things. So you're put in a group of people. And if you travel to a show in another country, it's the same group of people. When there are art fairs, it's all the same people, so you just keep moving around the world with a group. So if you ever have been at a Biennale when it opens, it's like you know everybody on all the little boats, so you don't ever experience the country, you just experience your group in this country or in this place. You know, Jane Forth was sort of being groomed to be this underground superstar. She made the cover of Life magazine and things like that. And, you know, she shaved her eyebrows. And she was this young girl, and she was real fun to hang around with. And she would just say whatever popped into her head, and she really didn't care about anything. And she looked incredibly beautiful the whole time. And she was honest. And she was confused and mixed up. And so I fell in love with her honesty and her directness. So maybe that's what I think fame is. It's some honest, direct thing that looks beautiful. And I think there's also something about fame that has to be in the moment. I think it gets really confused in Hollywood because they're trying to hold on to something that was or was before. And New York is just about having it at the moment. And I always think of New York as being real and the rest of the world as not being so real. Because I have to believe that we're living in the moment. I think when I first came into the city was sort of when I was starting to go to clubs. I mean, that was like my first office, was nightclubbing. Or what we call them with discotheques. And you would go every night, and if you were going to take a night off, it would be Friday night or Saturday. You wouldn't go then, but you certainly would definitely be there Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday. Because on the weekends, you'd get real cocky about the crowd would be tacky. That was a word that we use, or Bridge and Tunnel. And where did I come from? Brooklyn, you know, so naturally I'd notice it when they were there. I was going to this Parsons School of Design, which was on 52nd Street between 1st and York, and two blocks away from there was 54th Street, where there was this discotheque named Arthur, where I started going every night and got thrown out of the School of Parsons. And when I was in the fourth year program at the School of Visual Arts, the great thing about it is I had artists as instructors, like real painters. Like I became Malcolm Morley's assistant. And there was a teacher named Joseph Raphael. And it was a really good place to be. And we had these cubicles and they sort of let us be. And I wasn't a good assistant for Malcolm Morley because I couldn't connect the dots to make a good grid for him to paint. But it was sure fun going to his studio and see how an artist lived. And then by that time I was in the fourth year of visual arts, I started hearing about this place called Max's Kansas City, and I started going there. And and then there were lots of artists there, and I was in the back room there, and it was fun. And then I was home free. I mean, these people understood me, I understood them, we liked each other. I didn't know how I was going to make money or how any of that was going to work. I didn't understand. That's still a mystery. But I knew that I wanted to paint. I didn't know exactly how I wanted to paint. And I knew I was attracted to people. And then I got a camera and it took off from there. I always liked to draw and paint people. So I guess what I was doing subconsciously was keeping a visual diary of my life, which I accumulated through slides. And some of them would become paintings, and some of them would become drawings, and some of them just, you know, remained to be pictures. And sometimes they're pictures, paintings, and drawings. I mean, there's no rule, but it just started working. You know, my pictures were always just a little bit off. My documentation was always a little bit off. I never really learned how to take a proper photograph, but I had to use the camera. So it was all instinctive. And once, you know, and then being around the factory, you started understanding that it wasn't important to know how to do things. It was important to do things. And so I guess I just did things. And so I guess things just happened, and I liked watching things when they were just happening. I have to really like the person I'm photographing. I mean, I have to think I like the person I'm photographing. I don't have to know the person I'm photographing. I mean, lots of times, I mean, I'll be fixated on the way somebody looks, and I'll be, you know, physically attracted to this person, so I'll take their picture. I could be in a taxi going down a street, and I could just see something and want it. You know, that's wild. It's like a play, the way these things open up and close in front of your eyes. The first time I was sort of impressed by photography, it sounds like my life begins with the factory. In fact, the factory gave a lot of free licensing to go on and let you be who you are. There was this, I think it's the Stedelijk catalog or something, which had all these black and white photographs by three different photographers at the factory. And this book was done just a little bit before I was even ready to be in that situation. If I pick up this old book now, these pictures are fresh and wild, and it's just a documentation of a single place and a single time in New York by three different photographers. So I guess I've got involved in sort of, well, I started taking my pictures so I could make my paintings and drawings. And so I didn't have to think about what I wanted to paint and draw. I just had to be there to take the pictures, and then I figured out that I could project the pictures and then figure out what the pictures should look like that way, and then I could draw on my projections and make paintings of these pictures. La Dolce Vita changed my life coming out of high school. I mean, I got a glimpse sitting in a Fortway theater in Fort Hamilton, Brooklyn, looking at this Italian movie that the tablet told me I wasn't allowed to see. And I'm seeing people where I felt comfortable looking at this black and white movie and this party. And there was Nico was in this movie. I didn't know who Nico was then. But, I mean, there was all this stuff going on. And there were drag queens running along a beach. So, I mean, it opened me up to what photography was. I mean, so what the possibilities of where a kid from Brooklyn could go. I mean, that there was a real world out there and you could fit. And somehow La Dolce Vita kind of blessed me and opened my eyes. I can't remember when that was. I don't even think I was really in high school yet. And, you know, going to a movie that was in a foreign language, you know, I understood it. I found out early on that it was fun to watch girls put on makeup. It was fun to watch boys put on makeup. It was fun to watch people take their clothes off. So I figured out a way to be around that. And then I also figured out that people like when you watch them take their clothes off or put their clothes on or put on their makeup or take a bath, take a shower. I went to my first fashion show in like 74 or 60, I don't know, some early point like that. And I got to go to Paris. And I got to see who then was a young designer named Kenzo, who was a friend of mine through Gilles Rice, who was a friend of mine. And they were starting this fashion company, and I got to go backstage at this thing and see all these gorgeous young girls. Pat Cleveland I went to high school with. I mean, there she was as this big-time model. And got to watch them put, you know, stand in front of these mirrors and these tents, put on makeup, have their hair, whatever they were going to do to their hair, and drink champagne and smoke cigarettes and do whatever else you did at that point, and walk down a runway in these glamorous clothes. And it was like I died and went to heaven. It was like a whole movie that just went on in an hour and a half. You go 2 hours before, watch them get dressed. The show takes the most 35 minutes. And then there's a party that goes on after that for a day and a half, if you're only at one show. Otherwise, you just keep going to lots of shows. So that was the first real commercial way of watching girls, you know, get dressed and undressed. And then running around New York, there were lots of guys that took a long time to go out and get dressed. And, you know, they usually got dressed in drag. And that was fun to watch, too. I like to take pictures of people in mirrors. Let's see. I like to take pictures of people eating. I like to take people's pictures doing whatever they're doing. Period. I mean, I like people. I like eating. I like drinking. I started going like to the Art Students League to draw nude people. And that was a big thing. And also you started going to museums and the Donnell Library. It just opened this whole world that was right there. And the subway was 30 cents then. And so then, you know, you started going to parties and they'd be all over the place. You'd be in the Bronx, you'd be in, you know, you'd be in Forest Hills, you know. Forest Hills was cool, you know, it was a much liberal, faster crowd. I was going to a doctor because I had asthma, and he was in New York, and I was a horrible student. So he suggested that maybe I'd like this school that they were building on 57th Street and 2nd Avenue. The school was called Art and Design. I took the test, which consisted of you went there, you brought a portfolio of drawings, and they put a kid up on a desk, and you had to draw the person, and I did it, and I got into the school. And that sort of changed my life. In my grandmother's house, it was real funny. There were reproductions of paintings on the walls, and I always loved looking at them. That Renoir of the lady with the hat and the red lips, I mean, it's corny now, but then it was like heaven to look at. And there was always the Saturday Evening Post, and, you know, and my father used to get Playboy magazine, you know, so there were things to look at there. So Norman Rockwell, I guess, was an early influence on me. Now it's cool, though. I mean, right away you figured out that it was sort of a corny, but he dealt with sort of liberal issues from time to time when I was a kid. And I was always amazed at how beautifully those covers were put together. When I was in grammar school, I got this ViewMaster for Christmas one year. And I always liked the world, and I always wanted to travel, and I wasn't going anywhere. So they used to be able to buy these round slides. I guess they were like early CDs, and they would have 12 images on them or something, and you would click them, and there would be these three-dimensional images would come up in color, and it would like you'd go to India, you'd go to Italy. There were adventures in them. And so I used to just stare at those. And then one year, for another Christmas, because I paid a whole lot of attention, you know, I had like a Rectisex, electric trains, and this. And another year, they gave me one that you could project on the wall. And then I was sold. I mean, it was just heaven. I kept projecting images on the wall. It wasn't until I got to college or art school. I didn't think I ever really went to a college. Art school, I took a photography course. And then I started taking lots of pictures. And I never thought much about the photographs, except even when I was in school, I didn't use the photographs to draw. I used to make these grids and try to place the photograph in the grid and make a painting that way. And then somebody just suggested to me, actually Stephen Mueller suggested to me, well, Billy, why don't you just project the damn thing? And I did, and I had all these qualms about, you know, is that okay? And that, you know, people just laughed because naturally I missed that course where it was okay. When I take the picture, I'm trying to relate what I think I'm seeing in the people and what's going on. And my pictures, Cookie Mueller once said to me, you know, that actually she wrote it in details when she did those art reviews years ago. Well, I'm not quoting her, but she sort of said that they were diaristic and that everyone was having a good time. I mean, I always think that's sort of what life's about. I mean, I think you sort of have to keep being attracted to things and keep trying to find out about them. There'll be pictures. We'll look at pictures like where the models were young and I was young, and then I went to this Kenzo's last fashion show, which was last year in Paris, and the same models were there. Things, I don't think they change that much. I mean, sometimes the people, some of the same people that I began with are still there, and some of them aren't. And then there are new people that fill those gaps. I fell in love before that. There was like the scene east, the scene west. And around Arthur time, after Arthur, I went to the... I ran into Amy Goodman at the Scene East, and we hooked up and got married. I went with the New York Times. They had a bunch of New York artists do a fashion show in New York, and I've always loved fashion from the 70s. So I did that, and they sort of liked my work, and they asked me if I wanted to, well, I sort of suggested, I figured out you could ask if you wanted to do things, and I told them that I would like to go do a whole, you know, I'd like to go see what fashion was about and to do it. And, in September I get a phone call and they say, well, you really want to go do this, Billy? And I said, yeah. And so they took me to Milan, Paris, and New York, and I just thought it would be like you go to one, but those people start at 9 o'clock in the morning and they go to 10 o'clock at night, and you look at shows the whole time. It's the most boring thing I've ever done. But it was really interesting to see it, and it was great. I mean, it was a great experience for 3 weeks. I was working on a show with for Reagan Projects in L.A., and we were trying to figure out how to get me to a movie. And Ivy Shapiro was at that point working on, had a summer job working on a movie, and she suggested my name to this company. And the movie wound up being As Good As It Gets, and I was hired to be an advisor to this actor named Greg Kinnear on how to be a gay New York artist. And also they wanted to use my art in the movie. So I would fly to L.A. a lot, which was cool because they put you in the front of the plane and they give you cars and you live in good hotels. And they gave me a studio on the old Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer lot in this Sidney Poitier building. It was fun. But I knew nothing about movies, and I was too honest, and I told them what I thought. I also take tons of pictures so that I can hide behind the camera and not be there, but then I am there. And then I like the pictures to just be sort of happen, so that means I take tons of pictures. I went to the Met, saw the Bruegels. Saw the Egyptian photographs there, the early Egyptian photographs. Went over to CNN and saw the nude since 1950. I have an uptown week when I go to the psychiatrist. And then a sad day I'll do my Chelsea, pull Chelsea together. I'll look at everything. I mean, I try. You can't look at everything because it's impossible, but I look at a lot of work. I don't usually deal with people when I'm making images of them. I mean, I deal with them when I go take their picture and I remember what we discussed. And then I don't deal with it again until I start looking at it, and then it all comes back to me the way it's always come back to me from the beginning, like when I used to look at the world through the Viewmaster. Or like when I see a movie, I have this memory that I can remember scenes easily from movies and stuff. It's a feeling I have about the time I've spent with this person and what I believe is going on in, at that moment, and what I think is going on between the person and myself. I sort of like it to be sort of organic. I don't like to go. I like to sort of be in the moment, and so random is sort of nice because that lets you react to the situation as it's happening. That's the whole thing now that I figured out this, there's nothing wrong with dyslexia, that it's just I have a different way of seeing things and thinking about things than other people did. And so when they tried to teach me the other way and I wasn't receiving it, they thought I was, you know, like I was not getting it or I was dumb or something. And that's not the case. It's just that I have a different way of seeing things and dealing with things. And that's why I never liked studying. I liked being there and experiencing things. And that's sort of why I like taking photographs, because it's you get to be there and then I can go back and be there again and experience it again. I went to London and we did this Andy Warhol play, Pork. This is the same summer when I drove out in the car with Jane Forth in the front seat my first time in East Hampton. And so then the next thing I find out is I'm asked to go to London and to do the sets for this play. So I get to leave there and go there and play with a whole different bunch of people and, you know, carry on a whole different way and then come back. Anna Sui used to let me come to her fashion shows and take pictures, you know, just watch them get ready and stuff. Delia Dougherty did fashion shows. I've always photographed all her fashion shows. Her fashion shows were more related to art, and she was way ahead of her time when she was making clothes. Sometimes you see there'll be intense periods with some of these people, and then they'll go away, and you won't see them for 4 or 5 years, and then they might come back. And so then the memories come back, and then you just picked up where you left off.